All right. So tonight we're gonna really kind of talk about and kind of dive into a big question: what is your true spiritual identity? Last week we introduced this aspect of our faith, because we need to release our faith in our identification with Christ. As a Christian, this is one of our primary fundamental faith projects and faith practices that we should be exercising on a consistent, regular basis, really every day. And we often say every day is a new day in Christ. So if it's not new, if it's not exciting, if it doesn't build momentum in your life, then you're not in Christ. You may be in crisis. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, we said this before, but I'll say it again. Everything has been done for you in Christ. Everything God did for us in Christ, it is activated by our confession of faith of who we are in Christ and what we possess in Christ. You need to grab a hold of that. No activation, no access. No activation, no access into the things of God or the things that belong to you in Christ. Now let's look at Philemon 6. It says that the sharing of your faith may become effective. How? By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So you have to acknowledge it. What does it mean to acknowledge? It means to make your bold faith confession, which opens us up to both access and activate who you are in Christ and who you are in the body of Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The Passion Translation says this: I pray that your faith may be effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you, where? In Christ. Amplified Classic says it this way: I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ and unto his glory. Somebody say glory to God. And so we have to understand who we are. First and foremost is a spirit. We are a spirit. Everybody say, I am a spirit. So he's talking about spiritual things. That's why we talk, your true spiritual identity is your real identity. Too often, friends, we identify with the natural man. Our natural name, our family name, our past, our pain, our problems. We identify with those things, and we take on those labels, really, that the world and the devil gives us. But that's not our true spiritual identity, because who you are is the spirit. Look at Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. So we've said this before, man is a trichotomy in function, but dichotomy in substance. That means you have two men or two persons. You have an outward person, that's your body, that can be seen. Then you have an inward person that's that can't be seen, your spirit and soul. Three words that the Apostle Paul used by the Holy Spirit to define for us that we have a three-part nature. We have a trichotomy, three parts, in function. Now, I got an illustration today, so give me a chance to show you this. So he said, your whole spirit. Everybody say spirit. Everybody say, I'm a spirit. So that's one part. And then there's another part we call it soul. Everybody say soul. You possess a soul, and then where what the last part, everybody say body. So you live in a body. So you are a spirit, you possess a soul, you live in a physical body. Now, two of these you don't see. You don't see your soul. Your soul consists of your mind, your will, your emotions. That's your soul. Your spirit is your real person. You are a spirit. You are a spirit being, not just a human being. But that's the real you, your spirit, made in an image and likeness of God, and now born again as a new creation in Christ. Your spirit man is the preeminent priority person of your threefold nature. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. You live in a physical body. Now, a lot of times we look at this and we think this is us only. This is just the suit that clothes the spirit and soul. Now, when he mentions spirit, he said that's the order of your threefold nature. When you're born again, everything comes back into order. Your spirit, soul, and body. Now, what happens a lot of times when Christians become carnal, things get out of order. Guess what happens? The body becomes first. And that's where we get the word carnal or body ruled or body conscious. The body is dominating. See, your body is not supposed to be the leader. Your spirit is supposed to be the leader, because that's the man or woman in Christ. This is the one that's made a new creation in Christ. This is the soul needs to be renewed. Your mind, your will, and emotions need to be renewed, retrained, amen, reconstituted, because it's progressive. It's progressive. That means every day you need to be renewing your mind with the Word of God, in the Word of God. You need to have the mind of Christ. So if you put the soul out here, and soul's going to part with the body. And that's going to put the spirit way behind, and then you're going to be carnal still. Everybody say spirit. I'm going to put the spirit to the side. And then everybody say soul. And put the soul to the side, and everybody say body. So everybody needs to understand that God wants us sanctified in all three components. Sanctify means to make holy or to purify or cleanse, to set apart or to consecrate. That's one of our big to-dos. It means to be set apart for something for a special purpose. That's what the word sanctify means. It means sanctification means not only the separation from sin, but also separation from what may be permissible. There's things that the Holy Spirit will coach you with as a life coach and tell you there's a little bit too much indulgence in this. So we need to cut back, because we need to develop your spirit. It's taken away from your spiritual growth and your spiritual development. Hallelujah. This is an act of God. It's an ongoing act of God. See, he sanctified you the moment you became a Christian in Christ. And then he set you apart exclusively for his purposes. But now he has to use the regular progressive sanctification process, so that he constantly is bringing your spirit man into full maturity and development, getting your soul renewed where your will is in line with his will, where your emotions are grown up and matured, so you're not ruled by your emotions. In other words, where people call people emotional. Because everybody has an IQ. Your IQ could be low. In other words, an EQ could be low. Excuse me, emotional quotient. The emotional quotient is just basically this, how you respond to pain and problems and pressure. And your emotional quotient, ladies and gentlemen, your emotional quotient kicks in, and it doesn't matter if you have a very high IQ, but if you got a low EQ, your EQ will trump your IQ. That's why most temptations and trials and trouble hit your emotions first. That's why fear just bothers your emotions real big time. And people say, well, I can't control this. I can't control my emotions. Well, you got to develop your soul. You got to let the Holy Spirit, through the Word, help sanctify you completely. Your spirit, soul, and body. Now, P.C. Nelson, a Bible scholar, said about sanctification that sanctification is realized in the believer by recognizing his identification with Christ. Everybody say identification with Christ. In his death, burial, and resurrection, and by faith reckoning, how often? Daily. Upon the fact of union with Christ. You got to reckon this up daily. That's why Paul said to Philemon in Philemon 6 by the Holy Spirit that the communication, that the sharing of your faith would become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you that's in Christ Jesus. You got to acknowledge daily. If you don't acknowledge it, you don't activate it. You don't access who you are in Christ and what you possess in Him. He said, reckoning daily upon the fact of union with Christ, and by offering daily every faculty, spirit, soul, body, continually to the dominion of the Holy Spirit. That's sanctification, friends. It's not an ugly word. It's not a word that just means we wear long dresses and no makeup. Or men just wear black and white. It's the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word to us and through us in Christ. In other words, sanctification begins with the work of God did for us in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We start there and we stay there every day to activate who we are and what we possess in Christ. See, Jesus identified with us. Identification just simply means to treat or consider as one and the same. Identification with Christ can be compared to the difference between a photograph and an X-ray. In Christ, you see things differently. Outside of Christ, you see the crisis, the chaos. Amen. The complexity of the situation. You get confused outside of Christ. You don't know the will of God. You don't know the work of God. You don't know what I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. I'm preaching better than everybody saying amen. See, the Gospels are a photograph, but what man saw in the natural. In other words, what happened to Christ. That's what we see in the four Gospels. But the letters to the church, the epistles, particularly the ones that Paul authored by the Holy Spirit, the epistles, the letters to the church, they are the X-ray. So the Gospels are a photograph of what happened to Christ, what man saw. The epistles are the X-ray, what God saw in the Spirit. In other words, what happened in Christ. So we see in the epistles, we see the X-ray of what God saw and how God sees you in Christ. And like we said, He doesn't see you as an outcast, a beggar, or a failure. He sees you raised up, lifted up in Him, seated next to Him in heavenly places. Come on now. With all power and authority and dominion and victorious and triumphant in Christ. That's how we got to see ourselves, how God sees us. See, I'm a spirit. So are you, made in the image and likeness of God, made a shade lower than God. I am a spirit possessed in a soul, and I live in a physical body. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so let's look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. It says to us, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the depths of the heart. In Romans chapter 8, the word spirit is mentioned 21 times, if you ever read the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. See, the answers that we need are where? In the spirit. So people are always looking for answers from other people or outside of Christ. I'll say that again. Some people are always looking for answers and solutions from other people or outside of Christ. All answers are in the spirit. Everything we need is where? In the spirit. That means for us, it's in Christ. See, Smith Wigglesworth said it this way, I see everything a failure except that which is done in the spirit. Everything a failure except that which is done in the spirit. Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin said one time, all physical healing is spiritual. See, people are looking out here where they can see it and feel it to believe and receive their healing. But healing is spiritual. All physical healing is spiritual. What you need healing-wise is where? In Christ. It's already been paid for and provided for in Christ. By his stripes you were what? Were healed. But people try to grab it with feelings. If I feel better, then I'll believe it. But we should be grabbing it by what? Faith. Faith is a spiritual force. Faith is God's creative power. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith calls those things which be not as though they were. Somebody say glory to God. So faith comes where? Out of your spirit and lays a hold upon those spiritual realities until they manifest into the natural reality, the temporal reality. In the fall of man, in the garden, our trichotomy function became dysfunctional. It became out of order. James Stalker said this, all sin is a usurpation of the body or soul or both over the spirit. That means, is your spirit revealing to you and telling you and showing you your true identity? Or is it your soul where you've got all the memories of mistakes and messes and misery moments that compiled up that the devil's using to say, this is who you are? Or is it the body, your body, because of the pain or the problems or the nagging issues in your body, and you're saying, I've wrecked my body. I've abused my body. I've defiled my body. And now you are identifying with that defilement or that abuse or that wreckage in your physical body. And what is it doing to us? It's making us get into an identity crisis. The enemy is a thief, and the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the devil himself. And the first, one of the biggest crimes against Christians is that he steals our identity. And if we don't know who we are, we what? We act like someone or something else. See, problems and peril occur when people try to meet spiritual hunger with natural desire. Their spirit is lacking something, and so they try to figure it out through their flesh or through their mind. And their mind is being tested today because all the news, the noise, the narrative, and now they got the new stuff like these avatars and these creatures where people are trying to live through an animated character. But that's not who you are. You're not an avatar. You're a man or a woman in Christ. If you do some study on Avatar, you'll find out some really shocking things. That's all I'm going to say. Praise God. So when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, God himself and Jesus himself move into your spirit by the Holy Spirit and make you a new creation where? In Christ. Everybody say in Christ. First Corinthians 6:17 said, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. See, when your spirit is joined to Christ, listen to this, the same life, the same authority, the same blessings, become yours. But most people, because that's why they get depressed. That's why they're discouraged. That's why they get down, because they don't know who they are. So they try to gravitate to who they're not, or like something or someone else. The Word of God is a recording, friends, of a spirit in the realm of the spirit. So we said the recordings in the new letters to the church, the epistles, the ones that show us what and reveal to us what God saw in Christ, what happened to Christ, or in Christ, excuse me. And so when he saw in Christ, we see these technical terms in Christ, in him, in whom, by Christ, through Christ, with Christ, that tell us, friends, this is who you are, this is where you are, and this is what you have. And sometimes we'll even argue and resist and say, that's too good to be true. That's too much to comprehend. But if God made us and recreated us in Christ, then he reserves the right to tell us who we are. And when he tells us and reveals to us who we are in Christ and who Christ is, then Christ and God tells us who we are in him. See, Christ's redemption restores the lost predominance of the spirit of man. His spirit moves into your spirit to help you get back in order. Everybody say, get back in order. So think of it this way. You approach problems differently. So if you operate and respond from legalism and religion, and a lot of people who are not operating in the Spirit or in Christ, they usually gravitate toward legalism or religion. And so you try to work and perform to get holy, to get divine approval from God and acceptable to God some way or somehow. If I can just do more of this, if I can just read more of this, if I can follow a few more steps, and then you get into performance-based Christianity, which doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But on the other hand, if you operate by faith and release faith in God's grace, God brings you into union with Christ, and you work from that position of victory and triumph. Look at what it says in Romans 8, chapter 1 and 2. Powerful verse. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation. Everybody say no condemnation. No condemnation. To those who are in, where? Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Listen to this from the Amplified Classic. It says, for the law of the Spirit, verse 2, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being. Your spirit being. The law of our new being has freed me from the law of sin and death. Somebody say, glory to God. So there is a higher law, friends, a superior law, amen, than the law of sin and death. Because if you just identify with your flesh and your body, you'll become body ruled, body conscious, and you'll stay sin conscious. Because the nature of your flesh is to sin. Those habits, those addictions, those vices, those things that vex you, you'll be easily pulled on by the enemy. The law of sin and death is in operation. But the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the new being, the law of the new man, the new person in Christ, that's a higher law. What's in that law? The law of identification. That means as Christ is, so am I. Amen. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, what, lives in on the inside of me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That means faith in Jesus. Faith in what he has done, what he's accomplished while he was on the earth in his death, burial, and resurrection. Somebody say glory to God. See, when you take your place in Christ, this is what you should do every day. Take your place in Christ and your grace empowered place and position in the body of Christ, those roles and responsibilities and the race you have to run. And then, and in your fight of faith, because the devil is always going to resist you and try to keep you in the realm of the flesh or the realm of reason, and he'll whip you 100 times out of 100. But if you get in the realm of the spirit, if you get in the faith realm, you'll keep him whipped 100 times out of 100. But most people don't want to fight that fight. They just give in to their flesh. They succumb to the thoughts and crazy ideas and imaginations of their mind. But so you fight the good fight of faith from victory and never for victory. Our struggle is typically wrapped around the fact that we thinking that we're trying to get victory and we're fighting for victory, and we're never fighting from victory. In Christ, we're fighting from, not for. I need to get my spirit stirred up. I need to get fired up, Lord. I need to get revived. In Christ, you are revived. I need to get healed. I need to get this. And you're trying to get it, what Jesus already got for us. In other words, you already have, you are always the champion and never the challenger. But the enemy deceives us and makes us think he challenges your health with a few pain, a few problems, and now you're thinking, I got to get healed. But the Word of God says, according to the Word of God, by his stripes you were healed. I got to get my needs met. But according to the Word of God, my God shall what? Supply all your need according to his riches and glory. By who? By Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew. See, by instinct, a born again, in a born in quality, in your newborn recreated human spirit, you can know clearly the will of God in your life. See, we need to move, friends, from religion to revelation. Not just going to church and going through the motions, but being the church and being in Christ. Some people are in church, but they're not in Christ. They're in crisis. We need to move from rituals and rules to revelation. Some people think, well, it's easy for me to do the checklist. I did this, I did this, to do this. I read more, I prayed more, I did more, I tried more, I prayed harder. But nothing happened. We need to move from rituals and rules to revelation. The spirit of man has a certain capacity that helps us dominate our body and our mind, and your spirit will destroy and dominate the flesh. That's why you can keep that outer man under control and keep your mind, your soul, your realm, your mind, will, and emotions in check, in order, by keeping your spirit man vitally connected in Christ. Whew, that's enough to watch tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, Verse 12 through 13, it said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will what? Live. That means the outer man has to perish, has to be put under and kept under subjection. Subjection to what? To your spirit. See, Smith Wigglesworth said this again, another statement. He said, our only safeguard from dropping back into the natural mind from which we will receive nothing from God is to be filled again and again with the Holy Spirit. Kenneth E. Hagin said this. He said, those who refuse to develop their spirit and grow spiritually will be crippled in life and victims of wicked and scheming people. You got people taking advantage of Christians, and Christians should be far outmatching them. But what's the problem? What's the real deal? They're not in Christ. They're in crisis. Because their body is ruling them, or their soul is dominating them, and then they let somebody appeal to their emotions, and they strip them all their money. They let somebody appeal to their pride or something in their flesh, and then they hoodwink them and scheme them out of stuff. Then we live with regret and remorse over the things that have hurt us and have harmed us, including the people. That's not the way to live. See, the flesh does not easily submit to the loss of supremacy. It plugs and claws and fights to regain supremacy over your spirit. It'll keep you sleeping in and not praying. It'll keep you watching TV program after TV program. It'll keep you longer on social media than you need to be. See, the difficult member of your body to control is this, their tongue. See, you have to keep faith, hope, and love in your tongue and your mouth. Everything you say that comes out of your mouth should center around those three major spiritual forces: faith, hope, love. But sometimes we just grew up with a habit or a pattern of just saying whatever comes to our mind. Just, you know, talking first and thinking second. Just run off at the mouth. We got to get control of our tongue. What can it do? It? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. See, your flesh and your mind are the two inferior sections of your being. And you got to keep them in order. Your spirit person, your spirit man has to be at the ascendancy, at the preeminent priority position. Psalms 32:6. Amplified says, for this forgiveness, let everyone who is godly pray. Pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely when the great waters of trial overflow, they will not reach the Spirit in him. So no matter what situation you're in, you are the champion in Christ. You are triumphant in who? Christ. See, your victory, your healing, your triumphs are in your spirit. People are looking for it from other places and other things. But your victory, your healing, your triumphs are where? In your spirit. Because what happened to Christ and what happened in Christ can far exceed anything or anything that will happen to you. It doesn't matter if it's a big cancer issue or a big crisis issue in your family. What happened to you pales in comparison to what has happened to Christ and in Christ for you. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? See, your victory, your healing, your triumphs are in your spirit. Your troubles on your job, your situations in your relationships, your situations in your physical body, in your finance perhaps. Faith works the same in those areas, but you got to acknowledge Acknowledge who you are in Christ, where you are, and what you possess in Him. See, the things we refuse to separate from are the things that will separate us from the will of God. And we'll cover some of this again next week, but I'm just going to cover a few more scriptures and we'll close, because we need to digest these things. We need to wake up not thinking about our mind or thinking about what's on our phone or not thinking about what's in our flesh. We got to start acknowledging every good thing that's in us in Christ. How do you do that, Pastor? Well, you start with your in Christ scriptures like we talked to you last week. There's 130 of them. And you need to write them down or highlight them or underline them in your Bible and write them down and say, this is who I am. This is where I am. This is what I have. So you can start in the morning and say, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I thank you, Father, that I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I thank you, Father God, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that I am your workmanship created in Christ Jesus. I am the workmanship of God. I thank you that I'm your very own handiwork, dear Father. I acknowledge that I work your work. Hallelujah. I follow your will in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. Thank you, Father God. And I'm today, this day, I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. And nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is using my body. You can say 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The greater one lives on the inside of me. I acknowledge the greater one. I allow the greater one to rise up big and take the ascendancy and the dominant position in my life. Hallelujah. You can say Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ Jesus. So I have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Father God. I have the mind of Christ. I hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. I thank you that the same mind that Jesus Christ has, the same attitude of Christ, I allow to flow and function in my spirit, in my soul, and in my mind and will and emotions in Jesus' name. What am I doing? I'm acknowledging. I'm making a bold confession of who I am in Christ. And what I possess in him. Hallelujah. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I thank you, Father, that because of Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for me, that I might become and made the righteousness of God in Christ. I thank you, Father, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have a good position with the Father God. I have the ability to come into your presence without a sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, inferiority, or shame. Father God, I can run right into your presence. I thank you for the force of righteousness and the function of righteousness and righteousness consciousness working in me. I'm not sin conscious, body conscious, but I am righteous conscious in Christ. The righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What if you don't acknowledge that? You never access it. Remember, in Christ, victory, blessings, triumph, healings are all there. But you have to acknowledge them to activate them. You have to boldly make a faith confession. You believe and receive who you are in Christ and what you possess in him. You got to access it and appropriate it and activate it by your acknowledgement. This is how we call putting your spiritual clothes on. You're getting spiritual. You don't want to be leaving the house and run around for 3 or 4 hours and you're all flesh and carnal. Your day is gone then. You didn't set things in motion. See, Colossians chapter 3 tells us that we have to set our minds on higher things, the things of above, the things above. That means you can't set your mind on what I got to do, what I got to cook, what I got to clean, what chores I got to accomplish, who I got to run here and there, what I got to hustle and bustle, and oh, I got to check this, I got to do this, I got to do that. And you already on the wrong track. You got to set your mind and keep it set on the higher things, the things of God, the will of God, the work of God, the ways of God, because you're a victor. Last one, I'll give you this one, we'll close. We'll pick it up there next week, part two. Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all get something out of this tonight? Our favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always causes me, what? To triumph in Christ. Woo! Glory to God. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. Whatever trouble I'm in, Lord, whatever trial I'm facing, whatever test I'm going through right now, thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ. He makes manifest the Savior of his knowledge. He manifests victory to me in every place, in everything. I acknowledge it, Lord, that I am triumphant in Christ. So today I can live victorious in life in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, if you're here watching, and you say, well, I've not been in Christ. I'm in crisis, Pastor. Well, let's get back in Christ. If you need to get in Christ for the first time, that's called being born again, being washed in the blood, being redeemed by the Word and the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus over your heart and mind. And life, let the Lord receive you today by you acknowledging him as your Lord and as your personal Savior. It's a simple word. It's called repentance, saying I change directions. And so do that right now. Change directions and say, Lord, I forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for living in sin, walking in sin. Talking a sinful life. I acknowledge that, but I need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's my only Savior. And I acknowledge him and confess him as Lord and my personal Savior right now. I believe in he died for my sins. He was buried and he was risen from the dead. And he is alive and he is Lord. And I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord right now to the glory of God, my Father. I'm in the family of God. I am born again. I'm washed in the blood. I confess that I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing me. Thank you for making me a new creation in Christ, in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that